Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Two wonderful verses from our Isaiah and Psalm readings today. My husband Brian is a patient, tolerant, and hard-working gardener. I am less patient and tolerant, and I certainly don't do the hard work. We have discussions at times about various plants and trees in our garden, the garden that Brian has been beautifully landscaping. One discussion I remember was about a crepe myrtle planted within the last 3 years. This tree was not bearing flowers, whilst a similar tree was abundant with them. And of course, I wondered why. But Brian said, "Leave it for a while longer. Don't be so impatient. Can't you see the new growth that has just started on a couple of the branches?" Well, I had to get a bit close, really, to see the new growth, but I did. "I will prune it next season if it continues to struggle to bear flowers." Now, I'm sure you know why I am telling you this anecdote. For the gospel reading today includes a strong horticultural element in Jesus' parable of the fig tree. As I mentioned to the children, while I was mulling over the readings for today, I remembered a photo I took a while ago when I was walking in Queenscliff. And this is the enlarged photo that you have seen as the children have carried it through the church. I was so excited when I saw that sign in front of the tree. Specialist arborist is taking care of that tree. Well, what does the sign tell us? Firstly, that it has been noticed by a knowledgeable gardener that the tree is struggling. Secondly, that intervention is required. And thirdly, that treatment has commenced. So this tree is being cared for not by any ordinary gardener, but a specialist one, an arborist. So the tree is in very good hands. In the parable today that Jesus tells, what does the gardener or arborist say about the sterile or barren fig tree to the rather impatient owner? "Let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can then cut it down." So this gardener wants to do all he can to change the fortunes of the tree, because he's deeply concerned for it. And he is also trusting and patient. He's going to put an enormous amount of effort into making the tree fruitful. And he does this through specialist treatment, knowing the right treatment for this particular tree. As he said to the owner, "Let's see how that goes." Now, there is going to be a limit to his patience, however. The tree needs to absorb those rich nutrients in the soil and get moving on bearing fruit. So it has its own role, and it has a year to do it. But isn't this a wonderful title for God? God, the specialist arborist. I wonder what clues there are in the parable to some of God's qualities in this role as it relates to our lives. God is concerned, patient and will put an enormous amount of effort into turning our barrenness into fruitfulness, bringing to new life that which is scarcely in us. A very appropriate reminder for Lent. When Jesus tells this parable, he is determinedly on his way to Jerusalem and to the suffering that he knows he will face there. On that journey he has been on, crowds have been gathering and asking questions about who he is. Much hostility and division have arisen towards him. In his ministry of healing and deliverance, Jesus has embodied the overwhelming love of God. He has also embodied the challenge of God. What are you seeking? Which way are you going to choose? Whose voice are you going to listen to? And of course, these are the same questions we hear in Isaiah and Psalm today. God is merciful and compassionate indeed, but both response and repentance are necessary for entering into true fullness of life. And I think this is what Jesus is talking about here. Now, some of you know that I have a psychology background. Now, any good psychotherapist or psychologist knows that to be of most assistance to people, each session of therapy or counselling usually needs to contain two things: some degree of challenge and some degree of comfort. One without the other will not be as helpful. So what have been called hard words, you like, the challenge, and the soft words, the comfort, are both necessary for healthy emotional development. As we know, even babies need for their development both of these: the soft experiences, the cuddles, the feeding, the playing. But they also need those hard experiences where the limits are set: changing nappies, having a bath, being put to sleep. These limits give security. So Jesus, in a sense, does the same in the gospel reading here. He has both hard words and soft words for the listeners. The hard words are about the challenge, the need for repentance, the words that draw limits. The soft words are the reassuring words about God's tender care and patience. So for our spiritual development as well as our emotional development, we need both these words. I wonder what underlies God's patient approach to us. In some ways it is very simple. It is the urgent imperative of divine love, the divine love that longs to restore us to relationship, to full relationship with God. In Luke's gospel that we are reading this year, because we're in our 3-year cycle and it's year C, so we hear a lot from Luke in this year, there is a wonderful little 3-letter word in the Greek. Anglicised, it is D-E-I, day. Luke uses it over and over again. You often pick it up in the word must that Jesus says. And Luke uses it to depict this urgent imperative, the absolute necessity, the must of God's love for all. This is what drives God. This word day throbs through the gospel like a heartbeat. Indeed, it is the beating heart of relentless divine love. Right from the age of 12, when he is in the temple, Jesus uses it. I must be about my Father's business. And he continues to use it as he journeys to the cross. You probably remember that wonderful parable of the man with two sons that we often call the prodigal son. And in fact, it is our gospel reading for next Sunday. The Middle Eastern father does something totally shameful and humiliating in the culture of that time. He picks up his robes and he runs down the road to greet his wayward and disgraced son. What a wonderful image this is of the mystery and wonder of God's love that is always seeking us, however much it costs God. Now, there is a wonderful painting by Rembrandt of the prodigal son, or the man with the two sons, and you see them all in the painting. And if you have looked at that painting, you may have noticed the father's hands round the back as he embraces his lost son. And one is a female maternal hand, and one is a male paternal hand, a firmer one. Both hands embrace the lost son. God embraces us with both hands. So how do we receive all the riches of love that God longs to give us? We are challenged to repent, to have a change of heart and mind, to become aware of and recognize our deepest needs, that we are not sufficient in ourselves, that at the deepest level we are utterly dependent on God. And we are helped by God to repent, because repentance is sheer gift as well as demand. It is God's grace that gives us the gift of repentance. O God, you are my God. I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So, can we trust in God, the specialist arborist's hands of love, as he treats us? We will know that the treatment has worked by the growing fruitfulness of our lives. We will become more merciful and compassionate as God is merciful and compassionate. Love draws us on. Let us pray. O God, our gardener and lover, how we need our hearts to be treated by you, to have those barren, dried up parts of ourselves redeemed by your careful tending with your hands of love. By your grace, may we be joyfully responsive to your tenderness and thus bear the fruits of your Spirit in our lives. Amen.